tell me, how many times have you felt motivated in your life? How many times did you start something new because the feeling was strong? Now, how many times did that feeling last? Motivation is a spark, and sparks are important. Without a spark, you don't get the fire started. But here's the truth. Sparks die out. That initial energy, that excitement, it fades. Life steps in. You have a bad day, you get some bad news, or you wake up and just don't feel it. That's when most people stop. The gym shoes stay in the closet, the book goes unread, the business plan sits in the drawer. Winners know the secret. They know motivation is a gift, but discipline is a requirement. Winners act from principle, not mood. It's easy to do the right thing when you feel like it, but discipline is doing it when you don't. Discipline shows up when motivation packs up and leaves. Emotion starts the race. Discipline finishes it. I remember hearing people say, if I could just get motivated, I'd make it happen. But motivation is unreliable. It comes and goes, sometimes with the weather. You can't build a solid life on shifting sands. Principle is steady. Principle is the foundation. Discipline built on principle doesn't ask, do I feel like it? It asks, is this who I want to be? Is this the right thing to do? And then it does it, regardless of feeling. Motivation has its place. It's good to be inspired. But discipline is what gets the work done day in, day out, long after the inspiration has faded. Think about athletes, artists, anyone who's achieved something meaningful. Did they rely on feeling good every day? Not a chance. They had bad days, doubts, distractions, but they stuck with it. They kept showing up, kept practicing, kept working. That's discipline. Ask yourself, are you waiting for motivation or are you willing to act from principle? Emotion is the fuel for a sprint. Discipline is the engine for a marathon. The person who can act apart from emotion, who can keep promises to themselves when no one's watching, that person can be trusted with great things. There's another myth out there, the myth that discipline means you never feel lazy, never want to quit, never get tired. That's not true. Discipline means you keep going in spite of those feelings. Discipline is stronger than mood. You do it because it needs to be done, not because you feel like it in the moment. That's the dividing line. People who rely on motivation find themselves starting over again and again, chasing that feeling, waiting for the right mood. But those who let discipline lead keep moving forward, even if the pace is slow. They trust the process. They know discipline is not a moment, it's a lifestyle. So if you want to build a life that stands, stop chasing motivation. Let discipline be your anchor. Act from principle, not mood. Let emotion start the race, but let discipline carry you across the finish line. Now here's what discipline looks like, day by day, choice by choice. Some people think discipline is found only in the big moments, the major decisions, the grand commitments, but that's not where real change happens. It's in the small routines, the daily habits, the ordinary acts you repeat, often when nobody's watching. Every morning you get out of bed on time, you put a deposit in the bank of self-respect. Every time you finish what you start, even if it's small, you reinforce your own identity as someone who follows through. These little things, repeated over time, create the person you become. Now, discipline doesn't always feel glamorous. There's no applause for eating a healthy breakfast instead of junk food, for reading a chapter instead of watching television, for making that one extra call at the end of the day. But make no mistake, these moments matter. Each consistent act, however small, becomes another brick in the foundation of your character. People sometimes ask, how do you build confidence? How do you create momentum? The answer is, you do it by keeping the promises you make to yourself, day after day. You might think one push-up doesn't matter. One page doesn't make a difference. One good decision gets lost in the crowd. But habits compound. The proof shows up in your life, not overnight, but over time. When you choose discipline in small things, you create a pattern, a thread that runs through your days. Over time, that thread becomes a rope, strong enough to pull you through hard seasons. What you repeat becomes who you become. The runner who laces up shoes each morning, the student who reviews notes every night, the entrepreneur who makes the daily calls, they all have something in common. Discipline is not an event for them. It's a habit. And habit, practiced long enough, becomes identity. Ask yourself, what habits are you practicing today? Are they moving you toward who you want to become or away from it? Don't overlook the small stuff. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. If you can discipline yourself in the small things, you prove to yourself that you can be trusted with bigger things. And here's the beautiful part. Every act of discipline carries a message. It tells your mind, I can do this. I am this kind of person. Each time you act in line with your goals, you reinforce your own belief. That's daily proof. Proof that you can change. Proof that you can grow. Proof that you're becoming the person you want to be. It's not the intensity of one day that matters most. It's the consistency of many days. You don't become a champion with one great workout or a scholar with one long study session. It's the daily, often quiet discipline that builds greatness. So remember, discipline compounds. The small routines you choose each day shape your future. What you repeat, you become. Each act is a vote for the person you're becoming. Let every day, every habit, every small discipline be the proof that you're on the path. Neglect has a cost, and it's paid in more ways than you might imagine. One missed day seems harmless enough. Skipping a workout, putting off a call, eating what you shouldn't, letting the routine slip just this once. The mind whispers, no big deal. You'll get back on track tomorrow. But discipline, like a chain, is only as strong as its weakest link. People underestimate the cost of inconsistency. They believe missing one day doesn't matter. And on its own, maybe it doesn't. But the danger isn't in one missed day. It's in the message you send to yourself. Every time you break the chain, you weaken the habit, and you give yourself permission to do it again. Before long, the exception becomes the rule, and the standard slips further each time. There's a price for neglect that goes beyond lost progress. Every time you fail to keep your word to yourself, you chip away at self-respect. The little voice that says, I can skip today, starts showing up more often. It gets easier to justify and harder to return. The chain of discipline depends on each link. Protect the streak. Protect it as if it were gold, because in many ways, it is. Consider what happens when you stick to a routine. You start to build trust in yourself. You believe you'll follow through. That self-trust is powerful. It grows quietly, day after day, but it's fragile. Each act of inconsistency sends a different message. I can let myself down and nothing happens. Over time, that message takes root and self-doubt moves in. Now everyone slips at times. Life happens. There are setbacks, emergencies, days when it's just not possible. That's part of being human. But never let one day turn into two. That's the fork in the road. One missed day, get back on track immediately. Don't wait for a perfect Monday, a new month, or the first of the year. Correct quickly. The faster you restore the routine, the stronger your discipline becomes. Protecting the streak is about more than maintaining a habit. It's about defending your identity. You're saying, I am the kind of person who shows up. I am someone who keeps going, even when it's tough. That's what builds self-respect, honoring the commitments you make to yourself. Think about the long-term cost of inconsistency. One missed day turns into a pattern of missed days. A pattern becomes a lifestyle. And before you know it, you've drifted far from the results you wanted. The cost is rarely obvious in the beginning, but it always shows up in the end. That's why the disciplined protect their routines. They know that discipline doesn't just build results, it builds a reputation with themselves. And when you respect yourself, others begin to respect you as well. Self-respect leads to higher standards, and higher standards lead to better outcomes. So remember, neglect has a price. Every act of discipline strengthens the chain. Every break weakens it. Protect the streak. Defend your routines. In doing so, you'll not only safeguard your progress, you'll build the kind of self-respect that can't be bought or borrowed. There comes a point when rules turn into rituals, and that's when real transformation happens. At first, discipline can feel like a long list of do's and don'ts, a set of rules you try to follow, sometimes with gritted teeth. You remind yourself, don't eat that. Don't skip this. Do the work. Stay the course. Early on, every step takes effort. It's a struggle just to stay on track. But the goal isn't struggle. The goal is structure. See, when you practice a rule long enough, something shifts. What was once a burden becomes second nature. The routine that once felt forced begins to feel automatic. That's the beauty of rituals. When discipline feels natural, effort disappears. Resistance fades. It's no longer a battle to do what's right. It's just the way things are done. I remember the first time I decided to read a book each week. In the beginning, it felt like work. I had to schedule time, push myself to stay focused, keep the habit alive. But after a while, reading became a part of the day, like eating breakfast or brushing teeth. It didn't require willpower anymore. It became a ritual, something expected, even enjoyed. Turning rules into rituals means you set your life up with systems that support you. Instead of fighting temptation, you follow structure. Instead of debating each choice, you rely on habit. And the more you repeat the right actions, the less you have to think about them. That's when discipline goes from something you have to do to something you just do. The disciplined life isn't about denying yourself pleasure or living under constant pressure. It's about creating a structure that serves you. It's about freeing up mental energy so you can focus on what matters most. When rituals replace resistance, you spend less time arguing with yourself and more time moving forward. Take a look at your routines. Are they rules you struggle to follow, or have they become rituals you simply observe? The difference is huge. When a habit is new, you have to remind yourself. It feels awkward, sometimes uncomfortable, but stick with it, and you'll find it starts to feel normal, even necessary. That's how you know you've crossed the line from rule to ritual. There's no magic number of days it takes. It's about repetition. The more you honor the structure, the more natural it becomes. Think about the rituals that already anchor your life. The way you start your morning, how you end your day, how you prepare for important moments. Add new rituals that serve your goals, and watch how effort turns into ease. Remember, the disciplined aren't stronger, they're just better structured. They let rituals carry them where motivation and willpower once had to do all the work. And that's the real reward, a life where the right choices happen almost automatically, and discipline becomes a source of strength, not a source of stress. Let your rules evolve into rituals. That's how you make discipline last. That's how you build a lifestyle, not just a temporary change. Environment shapes behavior, sometimes more than intention ever could. You can have strong willpower, the best intentions, and even solid routines, But if your surroundings pull you in the opposite direction, you'll fight an uphill battle every day. Discipline isn't just about what happens inside your mind. It's about designing the world around you to help you stay on track. Take a close look at your environment. Is it supporting your discipline or making it harder? If you're trying to eat healthy, what's in your refrigerator? If you want to read more, where are your books? If you want to work out, is your equipment ready and visible or buried somewhere in the closet? The right environment removes friction. It makes the good choice the easy choice and the bad choice inconvenient. You don't have to leave everything up to willpower. In fact, the disciplined know how to set things up so willpower isn't tested so often. They create cues and reminders. They remove temptations. They arrange their space so that doing the right thing takes less effort. That's not weakness, it's wisdom. If you want to build a habit of writing each morning, set out your notebook or computer the night before. If you want to save more money, set up an automatic transfer so you don't have to think about it. If you want to avoid distractions, then keep them out of reach when you're working. Make it easy to succeed and harder to fail. Some people say, I'll just tough it out. I'll resist. But discipline is not about making life harder than it has to be. It's about stacking the odds in your favor. You can't always control everything, but you can influence a lot. The arrangement of your environment is a powerful signal to your brain about what's normal, what's expected, what comes next. Look at the places where you spend your time. The kitchen, the office, the car, even the digital spaces like your television or laptop. Each one can either reinforce your discipline or chip away at it. What's visible? What's within reach? What triggers the right behavior? And what gets in the way? Don't wait for perfect conditions. Start where you are. Rearrange one small thing to make discipline easier. That's a step toward living the kind of life you want. One where you don't have to fight your surroundings, but instead let your environment work for you. Remember, structure creates support. When you design your environment to reinforce your goals, you don't have to rely on willpower alone. The more you reduce friction, the more naturally discipline will flow into your daily life. It's not just about being strong, it's about being smart. Let your environment serve your discipline. Remove obstacles. Build cues and routines into the world around you. Make the right choice automatic and the wrong choice inconvenient. That's how the disciplined live, not by force, but by design. There's a moment when discipline goes beyond effort and turns into momentum. It's the difference between pushing a heavy boulder uphill and suddenly feeling it roll with you, not against you. In the beginning, discipline feels like work. Every new habit takes extra thought, extra energy, but keep going and you start to feel a shift. Action turns into traction. Progress gathers speed. That's momentum. Momentum is a powerful ally. When you string together enough days of discipline, you start to believe, this is who I am. Discipline isn't something you force. It becomes something you embody. It's no longer an outside rule you follow, but an inside standard you uphold. That's the secret of the disciplined. They build an identity that matches their actions. And when your identity lines up with your habits, momentum takes over. People often wonder how the great ones keep going when motivation dries up. The answer is, they don't rely on feeling. They rely on identity. The disciplined person doesn't have to ask, should I do this today? They simply act in line with who they believe they are. Identity sustains momentum when motivation runs dry. Think about someone who sees themselves as an athlete. They don't work out because they're motivated every day. They work out because it's who they are. The writer writes, the leader leads, the saver saves, not as an act of willpower, but as a reflection of identity. When discipline and identity become one, momentum takes care of the rest. Ask yourself, what do your habits say about your identity? Are you reinforcing the story you want to live? If you slip, do you return to discipline quickly because it feels natural, like coming home? The longer you practice discipline, the more it shapes not just your days, but your self-image. Momentum is built on consistency. It's the payoff for sticking with small routines, protecting the streak, and letting rituals replace resistance. Over time, momentum makes discipline feel lighter, even enjoyable. You feel the wind at your back, not in your face. Each good choice reinforces who you are and makes the next one easier. This is where the discipline separate from the merely interested. When the mood fades, the identity remains. That's why people who build discipline into their identity rarely let go. They have too much invested in who they've become. The standard is set. The story is written. Remember, discipline doesn't just build habits. It builds momentum, and momentum shapes identity. When you embody discipline, you become the kind of person who finishes what they start, the kind who can be counted on, the kind who doesn't need outside pressure to keep moving forward. Let your discipline feed your momentum, and let your momentum reinforce your identity. That's the engine that drives lasting change. There's a paradox at the heart of discipline. What begins as restriction becomes freedom. Most people think discipline means limitation, a life of saying no, turning down pleasure, living under constant rules. But true freedom, real power, is found in self-control. Consider what happens when discipline becomes a lifestyle. Instead of being ruled by cravings, urges, or the mood of the moment, you rule yourself. You set your standards, and you live by them. The habits you build start serving you rather than enslaving you. That's the secret. When your habits work for your goals, discipline stops feeling like a burden and starts feeling like power. Think about someone who's financially disciplined. There's no panic at the end of the month, no fear when an unexpected bill arrives. That's not limitation. That's freedom. The person who disciplines their health isn't trapped by doctors' orders or limited by low energy. They're free to enjoy life, to go where they want, to do what they please. That's not a burden, it's a blessing. Freedom is not the absence of structure. Freedom is found within structure. When you choose your actions, rather than letting impulses choose for you, you gain control over your destiny. Self-control is self-respect in action. It's the highest form of liberty, not freedom from responsibility, but freedom because of responsibility. So many chase the feeling of freedom by doing whatever they want, whenever they want. But that kind of freedom is short-lived. It leads to regret, to chaos, to being at the mercy of circumstance. Real freedom comes when you can trust yourself, when you know you'll keep your word, honor your commitments, follow through on your plans. When discipline is strong, you no longer fear the cost of neglect because you're building day by day a life that runs on principles, not on passing feelings. This is the reward of discipline, peace of mind. You rest easy. Not because life is easy, but because you know you've put yourself in a position of strength. You're not at the mercy of outside forces. You carry your own weather. You walk with confidence, knowing your habits are working for you, not against you. Let discipline become your freedom. Let the habits you practice today open doors tomorrow. Don't see discipline as a chain. See it as the key that unlocks the life you truly want. If you make discipline your lifestyle, you'll find the kind of freedom most people only dream about. Not because you do whatever you want, but because you've learned to want what serves you best. That's true power. That's real freedom.
Woo!